Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Proudly sitting in the downtown area of Los Angeles, the Walt Disney Concert Hall is hard to miss, with its look that's a bit like ships and sails. But while the 3.5-acre complex may fool you at first, with its sharp, imposing stainless steel edges, once you're inside, the tone changes and the hall becomes warm and inviting. Opening its doors in 2003, 16 years after its initial commissioning, we hear how the construction of the concert hall was anything but plain sailing.
Welcome to the Music Center and our Walt Disney Concert Hall. My name is Howard Sherman. I'm the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer here. I also have the privilege of being the unofficial historian of the Music Center because I've been here for more than 30 years and have a deep-seated love for this place. Lillian Disney, Walt's widow, gave a transformative $50 million cash gift to the Music Center in the late 1980s, with the understanding that this would build the fourth theater of the Music Center, a home for the LA Philharmonic and the LA Master Chorale, which would be acoustically perfect and represent Mrs. Disney's love of gardens. After an international search for an architect, Frank Geary, although Canadian, we like to call him our homegrown Angelino because he's lived in Los Angeles for so long, won the competition and became the architect of Walt Disney Concert Hall.
Thursday, April 30th, 1992. World News This Morning continues with Mike Schneider.
Good morning to you once again. Our top story this morning comes from Los Angeles following the verdict in the four police officers who were accused in the beating of the motorist Rodney King. They were found not guilty of almost all the charges and one charge.
In the Channel 7 newsroom, there has been a major earthquake in Southern California. We are getting reports of lots of damage to the buildings and the roadways. There are reports of widespread power outages, gas leaks, and landslides.
The competition was won. Frank designed the building. And then in the 90s, we had the earthquake, we had the riots after the Rodney King verdict, and the city sort of came to an economic halt. The county of Los Angeles had committed to and completed the garage on which Walt Disney Concert Hall would be built, and then everything stopped because fundraising needed to happen. Although the Disney gift was incredibly generous and the largest gift of its kind at the time, between escalation, time moving forward, and the brilliance of Frank Geary's design, obviously more money was going to be needed to be raised. So ultimately, after the economic downturn sort of subsided, a trio of three incredible leaders, the mayor at the time, Richard Reardon, Eli Broad, who's a well-known Los Angeles philanthropist, and Andrea Vandekamp, who was chairman of the board of the Music Center at the time, said, "We have to fix this. LA has to come back, and the symbol of its resurrection will be the building of Walt Disney Concert Hall." Construction began. We raised $247 million to complete the building of this building, and in October of 2003, it opened. Heralded as an architectural success. Acoustically, it's been lauded throughout the world as being one of the most perfect halls to perform in. In fact, there are many artists who are terrified of performing in this hall because it is so acoustically perfect that it's fairly unforgiving. And if you're not at the top of your game, you'll hear that you're not at the top of your game because there is no hiding what you do in this room. Shortly after the building opened, we realized that a very small portion of the building was causing a reflective glare into certain areas. 96% of the building is finished with a brushed stainless, but about 4% of the building is finished with a shiny reflective stainless, and naturally that's what was causing the problems. We did a complete study with UCLA doing a sun positioning study, looking at where the sun was in relation to the shiny surfaces of the concert hall over a 365-day period. We then determined which of the panels were absolutely the most egregious, causing the reflection, and then worked with Frank Gehry to determine a system to dull just those specific panels. It was 1% of the building. It was like 40 or 50 panels that we needed to go ahead and do a hand-brushed treatment to. We invited the press. We did a whole big thing about it. And some of it is being good neighbors. We are downtown LA, and we are in what is rapidly becoming an incredibly residential area. So we want to respond to the neighborhood. And some of that was making sure that we weren't disturbing our neighbors by glare and reflection. When Mrs. Disney gave her gift, she said she wanted it to honor her husband, and she wanted two things in the hall. She wanted it to be acoustically perfect, and she wanted it to represent her love of gardens. So to that end, Frank brought in Dr. Toyota from the beginning to make sure the acoustics were right, but he also designed gardens that are hidden throughout the building. The third floor of this building has a complete exterior garden that wraps two sides of the building that when you are in, you are in a complete urban oasis. You have no idea you are in the middle of downtown Los Angeles. The designer designed the garden such that there is always something blooming. What you forget is that you are three stories up in the air and actually over all of the rehearsal spaces that are backstage at Walt Disney Concert Hall. I think my favorite spot in the hall is in the terrace view seats, which are one flight above the orchestra and behind the stage. On stage left and stage right, there are these idyllic little pods that are not expensive seats. And because of the acoustics of the building, the sound is the same everywhere. So wherever you sit in that room, you're going to have the same experience. But if you sit in those terrace view seats, you get a view of the conductor, you get a view of the audience, and you get a view of this magnificent room for creating performance. And because of my unique position, when it's empty, it's also the most reflective place at the Music Center to sit and think and reflect on the good, the bad, the ugly, the day, the problems. And that's probably my favorite place in the building.
That was Howard Sherman, Executive Vice President and COO of the Music Center. And our special thanks to Sam Impey for that report. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.